Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Ted Williams went from an Interstate 71 on-ramp home to being famous in New York City on NBC's Today Show in just about 24 hours. One day he was panhandling and sounded like this.
And don't forget, tomorrow morning is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see this man live in concert. Thank you so much.
And then a few days later, he is the voice for a national commercial.
Kraft Homestyle macaroni and cheese. Cheesy noodles topped with golden brown breadcrumbs. You know you love it.
Ted Williams is talented and certainly has a golden voice, but it was social media that turned him into a star. Today we are talking about videos that go viral. How does it happen? Why does it happen? Later in the hour, Deborah Jasper joins the show. She is director of the Kiplinger Program in Public Affairs Journalism at The Ohio State University John Glenn School of Public Affairs. Right now in the studio is the other star of this show, the Ted Williams Show, is Columbus Dispatch photographer and videographer Doral Chenoweth. Doral discovered Ted Williams and has been with him throughout his journey from homelessness to fame. And the one thing you got to love about Doral is when I said the other star, he rolled his eyes. Welcome to the show, Doral.
Happy to be here, Ann.
Doral, you interviewed this guy. Let's listen to a portion of the interview.
Okay.
The voice just became something of a development over years, and I went to school for it. And then alcohol and drugs and a few other things became a part of my life. And I got 2 years clean, and I'm trying hard to get it back, and hopefully somebody from one of these television or radio say, hey, I need a voiceover, or I need something. You know, I'm hoping one day, watch Family Guy, weeknights at 7:30 on Fox 28. Anything, but that's what it is.
You know, I thought that his voice and the example of his voice at the outset of the video was amazing, of course, but what really got to me was your interviewing with him.
Yeah, I had met Ted, I shot that video 6 to 8 weeks ago, and then I met him one day when I was actually going shopping there at Lowe's. I had my wife with me, and we were going shopping, and I saw this sign, and I asked him, you know, just rolled down the window and asked him to say something with that golden radio voice, and he did. And then, you know, my wife and I laughed about it. We had a good conversation with Ted, but the light turned green, life goes on. I flip him a dollar, and we went shopping. About a week later, I needed a video for the website, and so it was a slow news day, and so I thought, I wonder if that guy with the voice is out there. And so I drove back up to that interchange, and sure enough, he was up there, so I whip out that flip cam and shot what you see on dispatch.com at that point. And but even when I was there in the car with him at the light, I thought, you know, there's something else. And I said, hey, sir, walk over here. And so we pulled over, and that's where I did the part B of the video, the second part. And he just is so sincere and so honest, and he just opens up. I mean, I just said, tell me a little bit about yourself. And that's how I got that second part of the video.
So there was just that little kernel, that journalist in you that was saying, there's a little bit more to this story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly
kind of that one more call to make kind of a thing.
Yeah.
My guest is Doral Chenoweth. He is the Columbus Dispatch videographer who captured the sight and sound of Ted Williams, the homeless man who has been the internet sensation and now official spokesperson apparently for Kraft Macaroni and Cheese, among many other things, I imagine. 614-292-8513 if you want to speak with Doral. What I want from our listeners is, if I'm wondering if you have a favorite viral video that you want to share with us. If you do, the best way, of course, to share it is on our Facebook page. So go to All Sides with Ann Fisher's Facebook page. You don't have to join Facebook to do it. You can just post there and share your favorite video with us. And if you have a story about a viral video you want to share with us, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email it to allsides@wosu.org. You can Twitter me at @AnnFisherWOSU. When you posted it, Doral, though, it wasn't, you know, it was a slow news day. That's why you posted it.
Yeah, you know, I shot it 6 to 8 weeks ago. I can't even remember when I shot it. And then we had the tragedy in Knox County. We had cold weather in December. We had a little problem with OSU football players in the NCAA. There was a lot of news. And I had a lot of vacation to burn in December, too. So I kept it on my computer. I thought about it once in a while, but I never posted it. And we had an intern come through who did two really nice homeless videos as well. And I didn't want to crowd her fine work. And so I sat on that video, and then one week ago on a Monday, January 3rd, it was another slow news day, and I thought, oh, yeah, I've got that video of that homeless guy with the golden voice. So I put it on dispatch.com, and the first day, the first Monday, it did a normal amount of traffic.
Which is?
I'm not really at liberty to say, but normal amount of traffic for a dispatch video. But then the second day, Tuesday, I got this call from somebody who I can't remember who it was, somebody connected with OSU. They just kind of work here, I think. And they said, your video is about to go viral. And I went, yeah, right, sure. Okay, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Take care. Bye. And you know, I didn't think too much about it. And then the phone rings again, and it's CNN. And I'm going, oh, my goodness, that caller was right.
Because you didn't bother to check.
No, not really. You know, I looked at the numbers, you know, because we have real-time reporting for our videos on dispatch.com.
But you didn't realize it had gone to YouTube at that point. Is that what you're saying?
Right, yeah, right. Okay. Well, when I looked at our numbers and the caller told me to look at reddit.com, and so I did, and that linked to a copyright infringed version on YouTube posted by somebody who I have no idea who it is, and that one was getting a lot of traffic, and that's what everybody linked to, and that one went to 13 million hits or more on YouTube. So
What do you think? What was the magic here?
I think it was sort of the raw quality of it all. I think it was just that man on the street type of video that people can relate to. You know, and I just took some heat yesterday from some journalism academic who says, you know, I should have had a second source for my story. I should have interviewed outreach workers. I should have
formalized it.
Yeah, and I should have done cutaways and B-roll and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, it would have not had the charm that it did. And I'll be honest, I didn't realize quite the charm it had until I really looked at it from these new perspectives of it being an
Took a step back, right?
Yeah, and then I thought, well, you know, that's kind of quaint, you know? I mean, here's this man opening up his heart saying, you know, I want a second chance. And that's all it is. It's just a real short 90-second video. If I'd have done a 4-minute video with transitions and B-rolls and talked to the open shelter people, nobody would have watched it to this extent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you at what point did you sit down and look at it as a consumer yourself, as a consumer of an enjoyable video? How did that work?
Gee, I don't know if I have yet or not. I'm in this whirlwind.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. What's for me sometimes with videos, viral, anything viral, is to read the comments, whether it's a hot story in the newspaper or something, you know. And were any comments, anything stuck out to you?
There are just hundreds of comments.
Yeah.
And people are saying, you know, this is a wonderful story about second chances. And it's a wonderful story about, you know, this man who's gone from living in a tent with a few blankets around him to suddenly living in these swanky hotels. And we're all watching this story and hoping and praying that he succeeds and doesn't become, you know, corrupted again by the demons that have haunted him in the past. It's a story of a recovering alcoholic trying to make a second go of it. It's really connected with a lot of viewers, and I've gotten hundreds of emails in my inboxes, on my Facebook page. I've gotten, you know, the newspaper's gotten calls, and everybody seems to want to connect with Ted Williams on some level.
614-292-8513 if you want to talk with Doral Chenoweth. He is the original videographer of the Ted Williams video that went viral and catapulted Ted Williams to practically international fame.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
Around the world.
Big in South America. African radio networks are calling me, trying to get interviews. He's just inundated with requests. And, you know, anybody who can't get in touch with Ted Williams calls me, I guess. So,
I wasn't going to settle for you. I wanted you both.
Well,
but that you're all I got. David from Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm really have been very interested in this whole phenomenon. The thing that concerns me is that he seems like a really nice guy, but he seems very fragile and worry about all this attention that he'll hold together for a month or two and then fall apart because of the stress. And I'm wondering if anyone's helping him or what's being done to protect him.
Thanks, David. Yeah.
Well, I'm worried about him, too, as are a lot of other people. Your exact sentiments were echoed in my inbox and just everywhere I turn, people are worried about Ted Williams and their valid concerns. And I am outside of his bubble at this point, so I don't know how things are going. I saw him in New York. Things were crazy up there. He was being pulled in a lot of different directions. He has an agent who is also inundated with calls at this point. They have since flown to Los Angeles, where they're doing shows on the West Coast.
Dr. Phil.
Yeah, today at 3.
Mm-hmm. Well, they filmed it yesterday. I saw it on Extra last night or something.
And,
it was work.
And he's on Dr. Phil for 2 days, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's all about, but I saw that on the Dr. Phil website. But I, too, am worried about Ted. You know, he's the men and women in his condition and with his track record of alcohol, drug abuse, who, you know, win the lottery or achieve instant stardom like this, don't have a very good track record. The caller's right. And let's hope that Ted Williams is able to succeed.
Have you had a chance to talk to him much since, or is it just you've been in the same room kind of thing? Have you gotten to know him a little bit more?
You know, we were in the very first media gaggle at the WNCI studios on Wednesday morning, and Ted was there, his agent was there, and there were probably 20 photographers and reporters from different networks, and I was just one of them in the crowd at that point, you know, trying to document Ted's rise to stardom. But he looked out in that media gaggle and he saw me and he stood up and came over and said, "Doral," you know, we had a big hug, and he pulled my business card out of his pocket and said, "You know, I've been carrying this with me since you shot that, and I've been thinking about you every day." And I said, "Man, I've been thinking about you too, and you know, we're just really happy for him and hope he does well." I've seen him backstage at a few different places in New York, but haven't really had any good, solid conversations with him. But we have made a promise to meet at the Frisch's at I-71 in Hudson and have a meal in about 6 months.
The vagaries of the internet, the vagaries of YouTube and the whole viral phenomenon, do you think if you'd have posted this 3 or 4 weeks earlier when people were freaking out about Christmas, that it would have gotten the same attention?
No.
What do you think?
I think it's just a divine guidance that it all just happened the way it did.
January 3rd when everyone's bored, slow news day.
You know, Ann, you nailed it right there. It really was. It was a slow news week, and it's a feel-good story. It's a story of second chances. What a great way to start the new year.
We're going to take a break, then we'll get to our calls. My guest is Doral Chenoweth. He's the Columbus Dispatch videographer who captured the world of Ted Williams on film first. Stay with us. We'll be right back on All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Karen Armstrong's lifelong research into religion led her to consider the deepest questions of human beings.
What is the nature of happiness? What is the meaning of our mortality?
Now she's created a new prescription for living with compassion and empathy. I'm Neil Conan. Karen Armstrong joins us on her new book, 12 Steps to a Compassionate Life. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon from 2 until 4, right here on 89.7 NPR News. It's 23 degrees currently in downtown Columbus with some snow, a winter weather advisory in effect until midnight tonight. Expect 1 to 3 inches of snow this afternoon and another 1 to 2 inches of snow tonight.
Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from Columbus College of Art and Design. CCAD offers continuing education classes where you can update your creative career skills. Classes start January 31st. Information and online registration at www.ccad.edu.
All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides. Joining us now, Deborah Jasper. She's director of the Kiplinger Program in Public Affairs Journalism at The Ohio State University John Glenn School of Public Affairs. Welcome to the show, Deborah.
Thanks. It's great to be here, Ian.
This is a lot about journalism.
It is a lot about journalism and how things go viral and why they go viral and the impact of that if the newsroom isn't benefiting always from those viral videos out on YouTube. So there's been a lot of debate about this story in journalism circles.
What is the debate? What is it revolved around?
Well, I think one of the big things that people are talking about is when the Dispatch decided to pull the video from YouTube and then post its own video that, you know, because of copyright violation, as Doral talked about, and it really angered a lot of people. So if you go to the new Dispatch video on YouTube, there are a lot of people complaining about losing, you know, the video that had the millions and millions of views. And, of course, on the other side, folks at the Dispatch and folks in journalism are saying, look, someone has to pay for this. And so, you know, we need those clicks to our links.
You know, and this is not, I mean, I'm not going to put Doral on the spot. He can't speak for the company. But is there a lesson here that maybe you post it first?
Yes, there's a big lesson here. And lots of people are weighing in on that now and saying, you know, ideally the Dispatch would have had its own YouTube channel and all the videos at the outset. So they would have posted, you know, all their videos there and they would have links and all of that. But we're going to be using this as a case study in our journalism fellowship program. And a lot of newspapers are starting to think about, okay, in a world where you have to think influence, not control, what does this mean? You know, how are we going to both benefit from having everyone spread our message? We want people to spread our message. But, you know, how do we still benefit from that when it's posted on lots of different channels that have nothing to do with our own channel?
Doral, you've actually had three viral videos.
Yeah.
And we'll get to those. But, Deborah, what defines viral?
You know, I think it's spreadable. I mean, I think what Doral said is absolutely right. If it had been a really long video, people aren't posting really long videos on their Facebook pages and tweeting about them. The reason, one of the key reasons that video went viral is because it's short. And we're living in a hyper-distracted age where we want to, you know, we want you to tell us the story and we want you to tell us a powerful story quickly. And that video was spreadable in part because it was powerful and in part because we could get the whole story or the gist of the whole story quickly. And it wasn't minutes and minutes of backstory. And, you know, these days, if you see a video is 5 minutes, you think, oh, I don't have time for that.
It gives the listener, the viewer, some credit for being able to make some leaps with you.
Yes, it does. And in a world where we are just all really, really busy, increasingly, we're looking for you to tell us stories in a short period of time that are also powerful, but not that don't take up our day.
Yeah, and the backstory is also being filled in by other news media and by the Dispatch as the week progresses. I mean, we found out he has, you know, lots of children, you know, and we learn more about his past, and it's fun to kind of watch that unfold. And it's interesting as well. So,
and you want the backstory, but first you have to get people interested in the story.
Yeah.
And so you send out that short video, and now you have all these people engaged, and then they want to know more. But I think you're right. Your assessment, if you'd done a very long video, you probably wouldn't have gotten nearly as many people interested in the story.
Were there concerns, Doral, that as far as the reporting went, that it went viral? Did you know enough about him? He could have not been. He's a nice guy. He's a drug addict. He's got a lot of kids he didn't take care of, a wife. They're all going to be on Dr. Phil, too, I guess, which should be interesting. But were you concerned that something was going to come out and all of a sudden he might not be the sympathetic character, I guess? No one's suggesting he's.
You're exactly right, Amy. As a journalist, you always wonder, you know, when's the other shoe going to drop? And one of the researchers at the Dispatch, as soon as this hit, started looking into his criminal record, and it was a lot of theft and robbery charges, a lot of, having an open container, which is, you know, actually sort of appropriate for an alcoholic in a camp. But, there was no heinous sex crime or, you know, felonious assault against, you know, helpless children or anything like that in his background. So,
And I think one of the things that served him well is that he, in your video, up front said, I've had problems.
Yeah.
You know? And when he looks in the camera and says, look, I don't have, you know, I've had a lot of problems, then you know that's coming. And so there is no real, you're not surprised by that. You go, yeah, he says he's a drug addict. And he said he's been clean, but he's had a lot of problems over the years. And and he's homeless. So you know he's had a lot of problems. So in that respect, I don't think people were real surprised.
In your teachings on social media and how to make them most effective, one thing I've gotten out of them is the idea of authenticity.
Yes.
And so I funny. Felt like I was, that was very authentic.
I was going to say three things. Powerful story, keep it short, and it really does have to have an authentic ring. And I read the same blogger you read who was critiquing your work, and I thought, and I actually think one of the reasons that video went viral, too, is because, you know, you shot it with a flip camera, and it doesn't feel really slick.
Mm-hmm.
And it does just have, I mean, even the way you shot the video gives it a ring of authenticity. You're just pulling up, and here he stands.
Yeah.
And he feels really authentic.
And the backstory is, you know, these new Canon 5D cameras that everybody's shooting high def video on are really hard to focus. And you know, I wouldn't be able to drive and focus one of these new Canon cameras, so I just have to go with what works in that situation, and it was a flip cam.
I was impressed about how still the flip cam was, that it wasn't jiggling at all.
I got lucky.
They're so light. They're so light that, you know, I don't know. Like,
I don't know.
Wow.
You've had several viral videos. It can't all be luck.
Yeah.
People are going to be seeking you out now and saying, I need a viral video.
Yeah, I'm afraid of that.
I want to get to some other viral videos, but I do want to talk quickly about Doral's other viral videos. Number one, as far as the whole Ted Williams thing goes, CNN did a really nice story about you that you have a pattern of paying attention to the least among us. It's not anything new. It wasn't it's just something that's part of who you are, and it's part of what your mission as a journalist is. I know that from working with you at the Dispatch.
I've been given this gift of photography and video skills, and you know, I want to use it for Habitat for Humanity and the New Life United Methodist Church Breakfast Ministry. And my latest affiliation is with a orphanage in Africa called Lohata. And I just, you know, want to help them raise money so that they can, you know, help more kids or help more homeless people.
So you have something of a mission, and I wonder how that directed you. I think it was last summer when there was the fellow at the Tea Party rally against the
That was the healthcare rally, and
right.
It was going to be pro healthcare reformers and people who wanted the anti-healthcare reformers were going to meet at Deb Price's office on the Latanji River Road. And, you know, that was just a straight news story. There was no higher purpose there, no mission on my part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some other assignment fell through. I thought, hell, this rally's going to be a good video because you're going to have both sides there and you can be journalistically fair.
But what drew you that to that? I mean, you just happened to be there at the right time one thing.
It was just a, you know, crazy, chaotic rally with people yelling just like they always do at political rallies. And then somewhere in the middle of that gentleman came through with a white shirt and a tie and berated the man with Parkinson's disease and threw a dollar at him, thought he was homeless, when in fact he turned out to be a nuclear physicist, engineer, professor. And, you know, it was just the moment. And that video is interesting because, you know, it was part of like a 2 or 3 minute video, a standard news video. But that part in the middle was taken out and the copyright was, you know, stolen by different political groups who used it to their own end. They repackaged it in their videos. And that's how it went viral.
Let's listen. I think we've got the real deal here. As Doral pointed out, viral videos can also be political. In this video, two protests were going on, one for health care reform and the other was the Tea Party folks against health care reform. Let's listen to it.
If you're looking for a handout, you're at the wrong end of town. Nothing for free over here. You have to work for everything you get.
No, I'll pay for this guy. Here you go. Start a pot. I'll pay for you.
I don't want
a handout. No, I'll decide when to give you
money.
There's another one. No more handouts.
Yeah.
It's tough to listen to again. Yeah.
Did you have a feeling? Now, it was part of a news story, but, you know, a bigger story at the outset. It didn't become the story, but it did become the story. That video become the story.
Mm-hmm.
What were your expectations?
Again, I thought it was just going to be another straight news video. I thought it might do really good traffic because the healthcare battle was so intense at that point. But again, you know, more than 500,000 hits, so it went through the roof again. And, you know, and it was just taken that was excerpted by so many different political organizations and put on their website, you know, with commentary all around it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, sure, they give the Dispatch credit, but, you know, it's just not, you know, the clicks aren't going to our website. It's really, you know, this never would have happened a few years ago.
See, listen to that theme. I mean, this is what journalists are really wrestling with, what traditional newsrooms are wrestling with. They're, you know, it costs money, of course, to pay Doral. It costs money to pay people to go out and tell good stories. And they're trying to figure out how do they recoup that investment when lots of people now have their own, everybody has their own publishing channels, and so, you know, you can post this anywhere. And look what they did with that video. They made it even shorter.
Yeah.
Because we all, you know, the number of 15-second commercials has increased by 70% in the last year because advertisers are saying you can't even get people to tune in for 30 seconds. And so think what's happening with the videos. When we talk about viral videos, I mean, the theme keeps coming back. A, copyright violations often, and B, you know, they're taking excerpts or you're shooting really short.
Yeah.
It's just, but those are some of the dilemmas that are going on out there.
As far as the length of the video, is that something you're seeing out in the industry, that in terms of journalism, that they're just too long, too involved?
Yes. I mean, we get journalists who would come to our fellowship program and say, I want to shoot a 15-minute video. And we say, good luck with that, because increasingly, it's not that you can't shoot 15 minutes of video, but you have to break it up so that people can get into the video where they want to get into the video. So maybe they just want to see this part of the story, or they just, and then if you can capture their attention, they'll go deeper. Then they want to see the backstory. You know, tell me about Ted Williams' family. Tell me about his ex-wife. Tell me about his children. But first, what we say in a hyper-distracted age, you know, we do these workshops where we say, look, A, you have to think spreadable. B, you really have to think about how are you going to get people's attention, and then you can tell them the story. But first, you have to get their attention.
Doral, you had a third viral video, the strippers.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. Now, we don't have a sound from that because I didn't realize that was yours.
Yes, but strippers protesting at a church. There had been a church in, again, I think it was Knox County, that had been protesting for years at a strip club in their community, and the strippers just finally got fed up and started protesting at the church on Sunday morning. So, you know, that type of video, the subject matter just lends itself well to video.
Can I just say, if you say strippers in a church, you're probably going to get people tuning in.
I don't know. Yeah, right, exactly.
I mean, all bets are off on the short and authentic and all that other stuff we just said. Just if you pick strippers in church.
Sometimes it's not what, it's what, not how.
Sometimes it really is what. Yes.
You know, and the other things that work real well on the internet are fun things. You know, the Mirror Lake Jump is always a surefire hit. Ohio State did the flash dance at the new Ohio Union
right.
building. And they made a multimedia production out of that with their 8 cameras. And they called me 20 minutes before it happened and said, hey, we got this going on. I was like, great, I'll be there. So I ran up with one camera, and I'm watching what's going to unfold here. And I realized OSU's got 8 cameras. I've got one. So when they started the flash dance, I was rolling, and I never turned it off. I had to do it as one straight take with one camera. And OSU, and I got a lot of hits out of that. I mean, I got like, you know, 20 times the normal number of hits, but OSU got more than 1 million hits on for their really well-done, beautifully produced video, excellent audio. I mean, my hat's off to them.
There's a difference, though, between these that are produced now for the internet. And the flash dance, or whatever they call it, is almost passé.
Flash mob.
Flash yes, mob, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The flash mob, almost feels passé. They feel somewhat contrived now. And people, that's just an impression I have, Deb.
I think everyone's always looking for the next thing. You know, when that trend first started, we were showing those a lot because people really thought they were cool. And, you know, you were trying to shoot them. You know, there were different kinds of ways to shoot them, and people had never seen that before. And why watch a video when you can produce your own? You know, for students, why watch a video when you can produce your own? But, yeah, now we're moving into – there's always the new trend.
Yeah. I think ultimately, for me, my impression just going over – because, of course, one of the bonuses of this job is I've been able to spend time at work over the last day or so looking at viral videos – is that – one thing they seem to have in common, the really super-duper ones, is that sense of surprise. You're surprised. Mm-hmm. And let's listen to one that I think was the first big surprise. It occurred a couple years ago. It's a segment from Britain's Got Talent with Judge Simon Cowell talking to Susan and the audience in the background. And, of course, that's the famous Susan Boyle.
And how old are you, Susan?
I am 47.
What's the dream?
I'm trained to be a professional singer.
And why hasn't it worked out so far, Susan?
I've never been given the chance before, but here's hoping it'll change. I dreamed a dream in time gone by.
Did you?
It's that sense of, whoa, it was with mm-hmm. the man with the, you know, the golden voice. It was when he opened his mouth and started, he responded to your quest. It shocked you.
Yeah, that level of just, wow, I didn't expect that to come, that voice, you know, to come out is, it definitely gets people's attention. People that, will tune in. It's very similar, really.
The sense of discovery and look what I found and how many people pass that around and say, you can't, we won't believe this.
Yeah, and people who pass it around, that's exactly what it takes. And it takes, you know, Yahoo or Google or CNN posting it on their websites to generate the buzz for it. And what those people who are doing the posting need to realize, whether it's on their Facebook page or whether they run Reddit or Gawker, they need to link back to the original video if they want that link to be permanent. Because what happened with the dispatch where they pulled that after 13 million hits, I think is going to be happening more and more. And people need to realize, hey, if they're going to make a link, they need to make it to the right link and to the right source.
No harm, no foul, right? I mean, why not?
And I mean, the other option is to ask that user, to call that user and say, hey, will you link to us after the fact if you can't do it in advance. I mean, it's great if people can do that, but if they don't and you're getting something like 13 million hits, call the user and say, hey, you know, we produce the original video. We don't want to take that link down, but will you link to us?
And I did that with the political rally. I actually called a political party that had this, and I said, hey, you guys have to link back to our original video, not to this YouTube version that's on your website.
And did they?
They did it within an hour.
Yeah, they get it.
Right. So a lot of times, I mean, you're finding that when they post, artists are doing this, or they'll call YouTube and say, hey, can we run an ad on this YouTube video, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not asking people to take it down. They want stories to be out. Their journalists want their stories to spread. They want more people to see their stories. So what they have to start to figure out is how to, you know, get people to link back to them if they don't do it in the originally.
Mm-hmm.
Dee from Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. You have a favorite viral video. Tell us what that is before we go to a break.
Yes. It's safari footage of lions capturing a buffalo calf, and it's almost impossible to describe how riveting this footage is.
They're actually saving the buffalo.
Well, I wasn't going to give the whole thing away.
Okay, so are you posting it?
Okay.
All right, are you posting it on YouTube?
I'm on YouTube. I'm welcome to the 21st century. I am not an online person. I go and visit my friends and use their stuff. I don't have my own technology. I saw this on TV.
Dee. All right, we'll look for it. We'll find it, and we'll post it. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Dee, for your call.
Sure thing.
All right, we have to take another break. When we return, we'll continue our conversation. And, of course, we have some more cuts, because what fun would this show be without more cuts from viral videos? So stay with us. We'll be right back on All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, our postponed interview with Mira Bartok. Her new memoir, The Memory Palace, is about having a mother who was schizophrenic, violent, and for many years homeless. She spent her last few years in a women's shelter that is now named after her. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon right here on 89.7 NPR News. And tonight at 10 on WOSU-TV, Frontline examines the uphill fight to rebuild Haiti in the face of deep-rooted corruption and intimidation. Watch Frontline Battle for Haiti. It's tonight at 10 on WOSU-TV.
Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the Physicians Free Clinic and Voluntary Care Network, providing charity medical care for Central Ohio's uninsured patients. More about joining the Columbus Medical Association Foundation and supporting the clinic is at goodhealthcolumbus.org.
And it's 23 degrees in downtown Columbus, a winter weather advisory in effect until midnight tonight. Areas of snow and blowing snow, an accumulation of 1 to 3 inches today, and then an accumulation of another 1 to 2 inches is likely tonight, a low of 21 overnight. And a half an inch of snow is possible Wednesday morning, then cloudy skies and a high of 25. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. The Doral's experience, Doral Chenoweth's experience at the Columbus Dispatch isn't exactly unusual. I mean, news does, and news footage does spur a lot of viral video. The one we're going to listen to now, it's a YouTube video. It started as a news report about something pretty scary. A woman wakes up to find an intruder in her bed, and then it turned into the bed intruder story. This is her brother. He's being interviewed, and it was eventually manipulated and changed to this.
Well, obviously, we have a rapist in Lincoln Park. He's climbing in your windows, he's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So you need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, because they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess, we're looking for you, we gon' find you, we gon' find you. So you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that.
The star of the video, the victim's brother, as I said, Antoine Dodson, now has a website and a Wikipedia article about him. There are T-shirts, and his song has sold thousands of copies on iTunes and appeared on the Billboard Hot 100 list. If you, you know, take a moment and look for the original video, it was hilarious. I mean, and you just had to love this guy and his audacity. Do you remember it, Doral?
Yeah. It was a tragic news story, and it just morphed into something totally different.
Right.
Yeah,
the number of people doing mashups now and changing original videos and they turn into something that you don't expect at all has really grown exponentially. I was just at a law conference where attorneys are trying to figure out, you know, they were calling it the Wild West out there because of how do you manage anything like that? How do you stop anything like that? And then some people don't want to. They really benefit from it. So.
Yeah, I mean, Antoine Dodson, it was a tragic story. I mean, she wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was an attempted rape. Luckily, she escaped unharmed. You don't want to make too light of that, but he has benefited, and he luckily.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not always the case.
And people are doing mashups. You know, kids are doing mashups now in grade school, and so you're really seeing – I mean, they're just seeing it as a part of what they do. I was talking to my friend of mine the other day, my colleague Betsy, and I was saying, well, what are you doing? And she said, oh, I'm sitting on the couch, and my son's doing a mashup. And at the time, he was like 6 or something. So, you know, you're really starting to play around with video at very young ages and mashing things together and creating different kinds of videos. So people are – it's just a part of the culture.
Now, along the lines, not quite of Susan Boyle, is Grayson Chance. In Grayson's case, he's a 13-year-old, a small 13-year-old, I might add, with his version of Lady Gaga's Paparazzi. He performed the song. It's a hugely famous song. He performed the song at his junior high talent show, and you know, one of the funnest things about watching it, of course, is the audience. But let's listen to it, because that, again, it's that shock value.
Wait on the crowd, she killed me now, the most fashion on the trip, made that picture of you, it's so magical, we'd be so fantastical. Lather and cheese, whole grass and rust. Not sure it means, but this photo of us, it don't advertise. Loving you and cherry pie. Cause you know the baby guy.
That was Grayson Chance. His dad posted the video taken at that talent show event on YouTube, and now millions have watched it. Grayson now has his own website and has done other songs, and he's been on Ellen a few times. He could be just another Justin Bieber ultimately, but it seems to be that shock value. You don't expect that to come out of his mouth.
The number of people who made viral videos of Lady Gaga. You know, the military guys who were doing the Lady Gaga video, and then NPR, or the journalist at National Public Radio, did a dance video with Lady Gaga. So she's a very popular artist to choose to try to do a video that shocks people.
And she probably totally gets it.
Oh, sure. I mean, you didn't... Right. She's not out there saying, no, take these down, because a lot of artists benefit from this. You know, their careers can really take off if people are listening to their music in a number of different ways.
Let's take a call now from Gail. Gail, you're on the air from Columbus. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Hi. First of all, I would like to say the pro-healthcare rally was at Mary Jo Kilroy's office, not at Deborah Price's.
Thank you for the correction. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Thanks, Gil.
It was at Mary Jo Kilroy's office. And as far as I know, it was just a call to go out to pro-healthcare people, and then these other people showed up. So I don't know. I'm not sure how they found out about it.
That's great. Thanks for...
But the real reason I called is that the woman that's on your show is talking about how people get bored. They can't even watch a 15-second commercial. And my theory is if they make good commercials, you'll watch them. There's one, it's the Hip Hop Hamsters for the Kia. I could watch that over and over and over.
What about the guy for this aftershave, Old Spice?
Yeah.
I mean, if they could just keep putting him in different places.
Oh, yeah.
The humor, that's another big...
And I'm sure this Hip Hop Hamsters was an expensive one to make because it's probably out of CGI and all this other stuff, but I just love that commercial.
And let's think about it. The moment you say Hip Hop Hamsters, you just laugh. I mean, you want to tune into that, so that is, it's a good concept.
All of the detail that's in there that you have to see it over and over again, like when they scroll up real quick, there's a real quick shot of one of the street signs, and it's
like a hamster crossing or something. Like
no,
that.
It relates to like Harlem. There's some street sign up there. It's really quick.
You know.
Anyway,
we keep talking about hip hop hamsters and fun stuff like that, but let's not forget that also on the internet and on different websites are longer in depth documentary pieces that people do watch. I mean, look at the popularity of TED and the lectures with TED.
TEDx, right?
Yeah, and then there's and those are deep and thoughtful.
Yeah,
and
I'm not
long.
Saying people aren't tuning into that. Yeah. I'm just saying if you have a video that you're thinking, is this going to be spreadable? Are people going to post this on Facebook? Are they going to watch it in social networks? That your chances of getting people to pass this along to their friends, you know, on Facebook or on Twitter are increased if it's a short video.
Although I watch through Facebook,
I had
an 11-minute video I watched the other day on through a Facebook link from a friend sent me. And, they are out there and they are
You may be the exception, though.
But some of these might be the shorter ones that grab you first.
Right.
And then I'll watch
a
longer video about Ted Williams, and I have watched videos about him, but I wouldn't have probably at the outset.
I'm just saying people have to be more thoughtful about how to get your attention to begin with.
Yeah.
And then it's easier to draw you in. But, you know, but a lot of times people make the mistake of doing 5-minute videos where they just have people talking. Or, you know, the key is it humorous or is there the unexpected or is it, you know, what is it about this video that will make me pass that along?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people just think, hey, we can make videos, so let's just, you know, make boring video. And that's what I'm saying people will not tune into. They will tune into longer pieces if you can make them interesting enough, for sure.
Gail, we're going to try to get a cut from that commercial. We'll post it on All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page.
Can I tell you really quick, the last YouTube video I watched, though, that got my attention was Anthony Weiner on the House of Representatives. When he would not sit down, they tried to quiet him. He was talking about, you know, passing the health care bill or something else. And they, you know, the right side tried to squash him and say, sit down, sit down. And he would not sit down. And I just, you know, that's watching something that's going on in your government.
Sure.
Unfortunately, I don't get that on my cable TV, so I had to go to YouTube to watch Anthony Weiner standing up for what he believes on in the House of Representatives.
Thanks for your call, Gail.
Uh-huh.
Deb, it gives you kind of a portal that you didn't have before.
Oh, you know, we are watching billions with a B of YouTube videos every month. On average, we're spending, I don't know, I can't remember the last, but it's more than 10 hours watching videos. YouTube videos, and the average video is actually below 4 minutes on YouTube.
More than 10 hours a week or 10 hours a month?
No, I think it was – I'll have to go – let me look that up.
Okay. Okay, we don't have any more breaks.
Oh,
this
no
is
more
it.
Breaks.
We're on the
I'll
final,
get back to you.
We're on the final downslope here. But that's, you know, an interesting point that Gil makes.
You know what happens. It's midnight, you're watching some YouTube video, and then it'll say recommended videos, and then you're watching some other video, you know –
Oh, exactly.
It's
2 o'clock
the recommended
in the morning,
video and you've been watching YouTube
death,
videos
right.
for 3 hours. And your husband's saying, are you coming to bed? So it just happens. You get caught up in those YouTube videos.
Yeah, I'm coming, but just come over here a second. I want to show you something.
Check this last video out.
The famous last words. Come here. I want to show you something. You got to see this. 614-292-8513. We still have a few more minutes on all sides. My guests are Doral Chenoweth III. He's the Columbus Dispatch videographer who produced the original video of Ted Williams, the man with the golden voice or the man with the God-given voice. You can email us as well at allsides@wosu.org if you have a question or comment for Doral or our other guest, Deborah Jasper. She is director of the John Glenn School of Public Affairs Kiplinger Program. So give us a call, 614-292-8513, if you have something to add. And George, you're on the air from Columbus.
Good morning. Last Thursday, I was down in Mobile, Alabama, to watch the Miami University Middle Tennessee State bowl game. And ESPN televised the pregame speech by the Miami interim head coach. And while we were still at the game, I was getting text messages and phone calls telling me that that pregame speech had gone viral on YouTube. And that was within an hour or two of the speech having been given. And it was just amazing to me how millions of people who probably never thought of tuning in to watch the game were exposed to the video on YouTube, and subsequent to that got some airplay on Don Imus and Jim Rome, and of course again and again on ESPN. And it was really neat because it kind of gave people who have no idea what the culture within the locker room of a college football team is like, gave a real peek into that, and it was real representative, and I thought it was great.
Yeah, it is a great example. I mean, the Pew Foundation says we're living through the biggest communications revolution since the invention of the printing press. And now, but we get to watch this unfold. That took 200 years. This has taken really 5 or 6 when you really think about it, and you realize how quickly information spreads. It's shocking. It's shocking to people to say, I just was at that, and now my aunt in, you know, Iowa is calling me about it. I was just at that event. How did she get it so fast? It is. It's changing the way we – it's dramatically changing the way we talk to each other.
The way we think about our relationships with people.
The number of people we can keep up with, the number of events we can keep up with, the number of things that we can, you know, track. It's really
exactly.
changing everything.
Amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Thanks,
thank you very much for your show.
Thanks, George, for calling. 614-292-8513. We have a little bit of time left. Let's hear from Harold. Harold, you've been waiting a long time because I wanted to save your topic kind of till the end. So welcome to the show, Harold. You're on the air.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I live just a few blocks west, about 5 blocks west of where the Ted Williams video occurred, and someone called me about it. It was a moment where I didn't have time to look at the video, so I still haven't seen it, but I did see parts of it on television. Didn't realize until I turned on this morning that Doral had something to do with this, and I began to reflect on the 30 years since I convinced Doral when he lived in Hideaway Hills with his mom to deliver newspapers and how that was changed over the 30 years of his wonderful career that he's having. And I wanted to congratulate him because I haven't talked to him since we last spoke down there in Hideaway Hills years ago when he was delivering those newspapers on a dirt bike in weather like this.
Oh, yeah.
And his mother, I thought, was going to shoot both of us before it was all over with. And his sister, Lindsay, was working in Logan at the newspaper, and I think she was aghast at what we were doing. But anyway, I wanted to catch up with you and say hello, and I'm really happy to hear you're having such a wonderful career. You've done some remarkable things.
Very blessed. Very blessed. But those were fun times down in Hideaway Hills. I was a 12, 13-year-old kid with a Suzuki TS-100 motorcycle.
I was going to say, you're delivering papers on a dirt bike?
Yeah, it's the way it is down Hideaway Hills. And I had a 16-mile route I ran, both with the Citizen Journal in the morning and then the Dispatch in the afternoon. I did that for about 18 months, and it was just it was a lot of fun. I even realized it back then, you know. It's like you get to ride a motorcycle constantly.
I'm sure people could hear you coming.
Yeah, well, they did, especially at 5 a.m. when my muffler was bad.
5 a.m. with the motorcycle out front.
Harold, thanks for your call because you do bring up a good question. I wonder about how all of this changes someone like you, or what the effect of it is.
You know, it's a good ride. I'm enjoying it. I had a great time in New York City on the CBS Early Show, and you know, I try to respond to reporters' requests, because you know, I work with reporters all day long, and I hear them gripe about when people don't return phone calls. So you know, I try to return phone calls and be available, and I'm just riding this way. But you know what? Next week, you know, I'll be back at a Thad Matta news conference, or you know, trying to track down Jim Tressel, and back on the streets of Columbus doing more videos. I mean, I'm not shooting off to Hollywood.
Do you
or
feel any kind of pressure to come up with the next great video?
No, because if I do that, I'll never come up with another good video. I mean, I never planned to have 3 viral videos in 1 year, and especially never planned for this. And I think if you go out and you try to do this, it doesn't work. It just has to happen.
We have 2 emails. I want to get to them real quickly because we have some – they want to mention some virals. And then I want to maybe try to wrap up the show with the Rainbow Guy. From Tom, I recommend Straight No Chasers, 12 Days of Christmas Medley. Their version was one of the most requested songs on radio this Christmas. It is both funny and impressive. I hope we can figure that out and post it on Facebook. Also, an email from a listener in Worthington. My son had a viral video last year. He works in Brooklyn Heights and lives in Dumbo, down under the Manhattan Bridge overpass. One night, he put his digital camera on a steady mount in a window looking out on the Manhattan Bridge and took an image every 30 seconds or so. Guess what? The Manhattan Bridge sways and goes up and down, particularly when the subway is going over it. Someone with NBC Nightly News saw it, and then Brian Williams showed it briefly.
That's great.
You never know what's going to happen. I imagine this guy didn't know either. Let's listen to a video by Paul Hungry Bear Vasquez, a.k.a. the Double Rainbow Guy, and then we'll hear the song he inspired.
Whoa, that's a full rainbow all the way. Double rainbow. Oh, my God. It's a double rainbow all the way. Whoa! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, my God. What does this mean? It's so bright, so vivid. Double rainbow, double rainbow. It's so dense, dense. What does this mean? It's starting to look like a triple rainbow. That's a whole rainbow now. Ah! Double rainbow all the way.
I hope things are working out for Paul Hungry Bear Vasquez, a.k.a. the Double Rainbow Guy. If you can ever get a chance to watch that video, do. It's sweet and hysterical at the same time. We have a report here from WBNS TV 10 TV. Ted Williams, the Ohio homeless man whose smooth radio voice made him an internet sensation, has had to do some quick talking to Los Angeles police.
Uh-oh.
Officer Catherine Massey says Williams and his daughter got into a heated argument Monday night at a Hollywood hotel, and officers were called. Massey says officers took the pair to the Hollywood police station, calmed them down and talked to them, and let them go in less than an hour. She says it was a minor disturbance and the pair weren't arrested. She doesn't know the nature of the argument, but says there weren't any signs of physical abuse. The name of Williams' daughter wasn't released. He'll be on Dr. Phil again at 3 p.m. Today on 10 TV. And he was not charged with anything. But again, Doral, the pressures. We just have a couple minutes. I mean, you felt some of the pressure.
Oh, yeah. I kind of feel responsible for all this as well. And I just hope it has a happy ending. I mean, it had a wonderful start. But, you know, it's going to be a long year for Ted Williams. He's got a lot to handle here. He's got to, you know, find a place to live. He's got to worry about taxes and you know, working with his agent and longtime friend Al Battle and how that relationship's going to play out.
Yeah, this from a man who didn't even have an ID so he could fly.
Yeah,
so that,
right.
I mean, I thought that was a tell. You know, it's telling. You go, wow, you talk about dramatic changes.
A lot can change in this new world very quickly.
I'm very worried for him.
I want to thank my guest, Doral Chenoweth III, the Columbus Dispatch videographer that first filmed or recorded the golden voice of Ted Williams. Doral, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
And also Deborah Jasper. She is the director of the Kiplinger program at the John Glenn School of Public Affairs. As always, Deborah, thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, Ann.
That's all the time we have. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.